our first Bible reading for our carol service from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 2, the first 7 verses. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available.
Luke 2, verses 8-20. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had happened and been told about this child. And all who heard him were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which they had just been told.
Our fourth reading is from Matthew, second chapter, the first 12 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
So one thing many of us will have in common, I'm sure, is an ability to overcomplicate life. I wonder if that's you, that when there's quite a simple task that needs doing or something that you need to accomplish, you have the ability just to make it way more difficult, way more complicated than it should be. And you know, the truth is that actually not just you and me, but our whole world has managed to overcomplicate Christmas. We've made it so jam-packed full of different bits and pieces, haven't we? I mean, just there on the screen, that's just some of the ways that I'm sure your Christmas can become so, so busy. You know, now, when does Christmas actually start? Christmas starts now, doesn't it, on November the 1st. We seem to get those people that want to celebrate Halloween, get that out of the way. And then on November the 1st, kind of all the things in the shop change, all the adverts on TV change. And so now we have 55 days of build-up and Christmas. You know, it's only meant to be 12 days, isn't it? As that song says, the 12 days of Christmas. But even that is overcomplicated, according to the song, anyway. You know, for starters, if you wanted to kind of recreate the 12 days of Christmas, where would you even start? Where would you even go and buy all the different things that you want to buy for your true love? And it's not just a Lord that you're looking for, but there's got to be 10 of them, and they've got to be leaping. It's not just 8 maids that you're looking for, they've got to be milking. Anyhow, don't get me started on all the birds that somehow you would need to buy to fulfill the 12 days of Christmas. There's 184 birds involved in that song if you want to get them all. 364 gifts in total. It's complicated. Now, there's a financial group in America who for the last 39 years have worked out the cost of buying all the gifts in the 12 days of Christmas. This year, won't surprise you, it's gone up in price. But if you wanted to buy everything for your true love for the 12 days of Christmas, it would cost you £36,912.32. We've overcomplicated Christmas, haven't we? What I want to do for us today is to simplify it. I want to declutter Christmas for each one of us, to strip it back so that we can hear the real simple message of Christmas. A simple message of Christmas which has just immense power within it to transform your life and to transform mine. And the first thing, just 3 words that I want to share with us that simplifies Christmas is this, is that Christmas is about the greatest gift. Christmas is about the greatest gift. In one of our readings earlier on in Isaiah chapter 9, it says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You see, the simple message of Christmas is that God has given us the greatest gift anyone could ever need. The gift of his son, Jesus. It says that, doesn't it? To us a child is born, to us a son is given. So at Christmas we're not just remembering the birth of a baby boy, but we're remembering a boy who was born as a gift and is given for you and for me. And unlike any really special gift, it shows us that we're loved. I don't know what the best gift you've ever received was at Christmas. I can remember the best gift I ever received was back in 1984 when I was 7 years old. You see, back then, Christmas was a bit simpler. It was still kind of complicated, but it was a bit simpler. You know, I remember, maybe you remember doing this, poring over the Argos catalogue in the build-up to Christmas. And I remember I would circle all the different toys and the different bits that I wanted. And back in 1984, the gift that I wanted, in fact, most seven-year-old boys wanted, was here, and it's there in the top left-hand corner of that magazine. It was a Transformer toy called Optimus Prime. He's that truck there. And I remember circling that in our Argos catalogue at home and saying to my parents, that's what I want. That's what I really need this Christmas. And I remember everybody wanted it. And in fact, on the news, there were news items saying that there were no more Optimus Prime trucks available in the shops. And I remember my parents sitting me down and saying, Mark, really sorry, but you just can't find one. We just can't get one. But you know what? I remember my parents didn't give up. And my dad, bless him, went to the Toys R Us in Basildon in 1984 in December and queued up and was able to get me that toy for Christmas. And do you know what? I remember on Christmas morning unwrapping it and just being amazed, but feeling so loved. In fact, it's the best gift I've ever been given. I've still got it today. There you go. There he is. 30-odd years later, still in one piece, still being played with occasionally by me, but mostly my sons. But I remember just feeling so loved and so grateful. Any special gift shows I, that we are loved. And simply put, Christmas is all about you and I being given the greatest gift because God loves you and I. God loves you. It's true. God loves you. I can prove it because he's given you the greatest gift of his son, Jesus. And that love that God pours out upon us is an unconditional love. That means we don't have to work for it. We don't have to try to be loved. Some of us really need to hear that right now because we're spending our whole lives feeling unworthy, feeling unloved, trying to prove ourselves and our worth to different people. The greatest gift of Jesus shows us that we're loved unconditionally. Now, some of you might be saying, well, that's great, Mark, but why do I need a gift to show me that I'm loved? You might be saying, can't God just tell me that he loves me? Why did he have to give me his son? Well, the clue in what is in another of our readings that the angels say to the shepherds. See, the angels declare to the shepherds, and they say this, today in the town of David a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So the greatest gift that God has given us is his son Jesus. But he's more than just a gift, he's a saviour as well. The greatest gift has come to save you and I. You see, the Bible tells us that each one of us needs saving. You may not particularly feel like that, but the Bible tells us that that's true. It tells us that we're powerless against sin. Sin is the Bible word for the things, the stuff that we do wrong. And it covers all the little things in our lives as well as the big. It covers the small things like the lies, the cheating, the thoughts that we might have about people, right up to the really big stuff as well. The stuff where we hurt other people. The stuff that damages other people. Sin is you and I missing the mark that God has set for you and I. And left undealt with, the Bible tells us that sin destroys everything. It destroys relationships and friendships. It can destroy communities. The Bible tells us it destroys the world. It damages your relationship with God. We all need saving. And Jesus came as the greatest gift to rescue us. You see, this little boy that was born, that we're celebrating right now at Christmas, didn't stay a boy. He lived a life. He grew up. And at age 33, he was put on trial the Bible tells us. And he was executed as an innocent man, a man who had never sinned, who had always kept God's commands. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus died on the cross, he carried with him in his body everything that's ever been done wrong. He carried with him every lie that's ever been told, every bad thought that's ever been thought, every destructive comment, every murder, every rape, every act of abuse, every war crime, every selfish act. He took it with him to the cross. And the Bible tells us that as he died, the power of sin died too. And he saved us, a saviour for you and for me. We've sung it already in our carols, haven't we? This line that says, "Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die." What a gift. You see, the simple truth of Christmas is that God loves you, and in Jesus he gave you the greatest gift. One last thing that I want us to look at that just uncomplicates Christmas for you and I is that that greatest gift is also the Prince of Peace. You see, in that same reading in Isaiah 9, Jesus is given four different names. We're told that for us a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called, that's Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus was born into an anxious world. It wasn't a very peaceful place that he was born, or a peaceful life. He was born into a country that was under Roman occupation. A foreign army had come in and taken over and were in control. Locally, King Herod was in charge. He was an out of control leader who had crazy kind of murderous ideas, and later on we see how he carries those out. He was born into a family that was anxious, a teenage mum who was pregnant outside of marriage, a father in Joseph who was wondering, could he stay with this woman who had fallen pregnant before they were married? He was born at the end of a long journey where there was no room for him to be born. It was one thing after another, causing anxiety. I wonder if that sounds familiar to you, because it does to me. We live in an anxious world, one thing after another. The cost of living going up, and just when we think it can't go up anymore, it edges up a bit more. Different workers striking off one after another because they're not being looked after and cared for. A war that just seems to be going on and on. One prime minister after another. You know, I've stopped listening to the news in the morning on the radio. I used to switch it on before I got out of bed. I don't do that because it was just causing me anxiety, like a knot inside of me. You know, there's some faiths in the world, Buddhism's one of them, that will say that you can find peace within yourself. If you want to feel peace, look within yourself. You know, I hear words like that and I think, really? I don't feel very peaceful inside of myself. Now, simply put, the truth of Christmas is that Jesus brings peace. You see, God knows what the world is like, and he knows that we can't find peace within ourselves, that we needed a power greater than ourselves, a power outside of ourselves to step into our broken, anxious and messy lives. A power that would come and save us, but a power also that would bring us peace, the Prince of Peace. So God comes as a baby boy. A boy who is called the Prince of Peace. And he says, welcome me into your life. Welcome me into your broken, messy, anxious lives, and I will bring you peace. I'll bring you peace with God. I can save you. I can bring you forgiveness. And he says, I can bring you a wholeness and completeness as well within yourself. Despite what's going on around you, you can know peace. The Bible, the word the Bible uses for that kind of peace is shalom, a complete wholeness that Jesus brings. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me right now. A peace within myself, the Prince of Peace. And so that's Christmas. That's, simply put, the story of Christmas. That you are loved. You're loved by God. That he sees you, that he knows you. That he sent the greatest gift you could ever hope for to earth. Jesus Christ. The greatest gift, because he's the one who saves you as well. The greatest gift, who is also the Prince of Peace. Who says, don't look within yourself to find peace. Invite me into your life and I will bring my peace to you. So as we hear that and as we reflect on that wherever you are, I wonder what your response is to that greatest gift, the Prince of Peace.